You gotta go straight face as you can do it.
I can't.
Yeah, you gotta try it. Like, just episode 69, done. Yeah. Nothing else.
Welcome back to episode.
All right. I got it now.
You sure?
Yeah.
I don't think you do. I don't think you can do it.
Welcome. Episode 69. Luck.
You can't do it.
Probably not, because we're all a bunch of 12-year-olds.
The blooper reel's getting a lot longer.
Yep. Welcome back to episode 69 of the Logger Golf Podcast.
Nice.
Good job.
Yep.
So we are back in studio after a kind of transpiring 72 hours in golf between Solheim Cup wrapping up, live negotiations, and then obviously the live finale.
Yeah.
So
John Rahm, a big winner this season from live, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Big money.
Did I choose Joaquin?
Yeah.
Damn it.
I don't know if he really like full out chose him.
Well, he had a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a flip of a coin. I will say I picked Rahm.
Rahm won the event, too,
right? He won the event.
So, at least, hey.
I'll say it was...
my idea of them finishing last and second to last didn't work out.
Not even close. No, it was... Honestly, the golf was really good. I mean, Koepka shot 62 the first round.
Well, you're one of five people that watched it?
Yeah. Actually, I think...
Didn't they get, like, a ring?
Oh, yeah, they got a champion ring, which is really cool.
Looked pretty cool.
But, John Rahm had a 5 or 6 shot lead on Neiman after first round. Neiman kind of got it back to 2-3 shots in the second round, and then Rahm just walked away with it in the third round. But he played really well. Golf course looked really cool, too. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, that was the public course, right?
From what I remember when at the start of the season, it was a golf course you could play for $55 or $60 or something like that. And I'd go play it right now. It looked awesome.
Yeah. Chicago golf, Midwest golf is something special, that's for sure.
Well, especially this time of year.
Yeah, it was firm.
Perfect weather, too.
It was firm and fast. It was good.
Now, that was just individual championship, as well as it wrapped up the relegation zone, right?
Yeah, well, and then
for individuals.
It also finalized the seeding for the team championship coming up.
This week.
Who knows when
this week
that starts.
Yeah, it's this week at Merido, another top-tier golf course. Whereas that's where Bryson and Tony Romo played their break 50. Here's one thing that I found weird, though. They still crowned a team champion this past week.
Well, yeah, it was still a regular, like, live event where you had an individual competition and a team competition.
So they didn't just fully dive into it's just a solo event for them?
No.
Okay.
It was still just a normal regular season event.
That's interesting.
It just so happened that they were crowning their individual champion.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like Abu Dhabi 2021.
Right.
Where you knew one or two people were going to win, but they still had to race.
Yeah. And man, was that a good
there
finish.
Was not a last lap pass.
Yeah, it wasn't as dramatic, but
no.
What do you think about the format for their individual winner?
What, 54 holes stroke play?
No, it's a season-long points championship, but there is no playoffs or anything like that.
They just included it in another event?
Right. There's no handicapping a field and giving the guy leading a 2-shot lead over everybody else or...
Yeah, it's just
you already know my takes on the PGA Tour playoffs. It's not just a playoff.
Like, right,
you can't put playoff and not everybody have relatively an equal chance to win.
Like starting an NFL playoff wild card game 7-0 up or 10-0
up.
Correct. Why is that happening?
Also, too, it's like how many guys could have technically have taken a bye in the PGA Tour. So, I mean, I would say, it worked, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the two guys that played the best all year both had an equal chance of winning.
Correct.
Come into the...
They just had to beat one of whoever.
The point system worked.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, no one else on LIV, you could argue, should have deserved a chance to win the individual title.
I was going to say, I mean, to me, I would argue that it was much clearer to understand.
I think John Rahm only finished outside the top 10 like once.
Well, yeah. But it was much clearer to understand...
What was going on?
Who had a chance at winning... And what it would take for them to win.
Yeah, I'm not going to discount that they did a shitty job of advertising it.
Oh, yeah, that's going to get into like their ratings we were going to talk about, live ratings versus the Pro Core ratings.
Yeah.
Or Pro Core championship ratings.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it worked.
I thought the format was fine. I mean, it wasn't original or inventive or anything like that, but it doesn't necessarily need to be.
I don't get why, and I wonder where that conversation, because I never understood why the PGA Tour went away from that model. Like, I didn't care that Tiger Woods won the tournament at East Lake, but Rory McIlroy won the FedEx Cup.
I was fine with that, too.
Because Rory had the better year.
Right. I mean, if you're a golf fan and you've watched a little bit of golf, you understand that.
Yeah. I don't know.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it comes down to. But leading into the ratings part of it is we had an all-time, essentially...
Low across the board.
Low across the board ratings when it comes to professional golf this past week.
Yeah.
That being said, week two into football season, hockey just started training.
NFL.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
College football.
College football's getting into... conference play. I mean, there's a lot better stuff going on in the world than golf, and we're a golf podcast.
I'm but a lot more stuff to watch. Hey, there was a Formula One race as well.
There
too,
was also, yeah,
true.
Yeah, 7 a.m.
But this was one of
and
the first
Solheim
weeks.
Cup.
Yeah, true. I say even more competition within golf as well too. But I would say, and this was also one of the first times that LIV, the overall ratings for the LIV event.
Was higher than
the Pro Corps Championship. Now, on your headline, that seems...
And the Pro Corps had some guys playing in it that are playing in the President's Cup team, they're not bad players.
That's what I was going to say. On the headline, that seems like
no
a big deal.
Of those golfers
LIV Golf
players.
Got more views than PGA Tour, right? But now let's think about it. The LIV event was their season-ending event, their season finale against the PGA Tour's, what was it called, Pro Corps Championship?
Mm-hmm. Old fries.
Right, a fall season event.
It's part of the silly season.
Correct. So an off-season PGA Tour event. So LIV season finale barely pulled more ratings.
Oh, LIV is pitiful. like their viewership, everything. It's
I think the golf is really good, but they got to do something. They got to do something to get more viewers.
Come on. The Saudis just need to buy, NBC or, CBS. They just need to do something. You got enough money. Just do
Force
it.
Force people to watch it.
I mean, because CW ain't cutting it.
No, the CW's not getting it done. For one, I mean, has LIV run any promotions, any commercials on any other network about...
Nothing.
...their events? I mean, how I understand they're going with the Field of Dreams concept too, right?
But here's my biggest gripe.
If you build it, they're not all coming, right?
Here's my biggest gripe. My gripe isn't with LIV the league. We all know what to expect with the league.
Right.
They think their stuff don't stink. They think they don't need to go above and beyond. They think that they can just walk out and say we're better than the PGA Tour. The players of LIV did nothing to heighten this event either. You didn't see John Rahm or any players going out saying, guys, you guys got to tune in. This is awesome for our league. We got two of the top golfers in the past 6 years, even when they were on the PGA Tour, battling it out. Like, they didn't do anything to enhance their own product either.
Did they do that on the PGA Tour?
No, but there's a difference. No. There's a difference. They're contracted.
Yeah, I get it.
LIV's contract.
I get it. Yeah.
John Rahm got a $600 million contract.
Which,
so
some people need to pay that back.
Tell me you don't care without telling me you don't care.
Right. I mean, he got paid. He don't care if anybody watches it or not.
Which, how is that going to – but then you come out, and then when he tries to defend the changes that LIV is making, it's like, well, then, dude, you weren't even doing anything to promote your own product.
I say across the board.
Like, I'm tired of players – and this kind of bodes into another question here, but I'm tired of players essentially telling – the media telling the consumer that there's so much wrong in the game of golf right now. There's so much right on either of their sides. They're arguing, but then there's actually no proof to it.
Nah. I mean,
because what happened this week?
What?
We had LIV and the PGA Tour have met for the first time, or
PIF, all the meetings.
Yeah. PIF and then PGA Enterprises.
Yeah.
They're essentially
negotiations,
strategic sports group. First meeting in Lord knows how long.
Yeah. What are some of the hangups for the merger?
That there's certain players on the PGA Tour that should feel that John Rahm should either A, give all his money back to LIV, or B, if he wins any future events or any money on the PGA Tour, he's not allowed to claim it.
tell me you're a bum without telling me you're a bum. If you
there's another word that starts with B that I was thinking of. We'll go with bum.
Okay. Yeah. Like, think about that. Think, like, you're an American. Like, let's assume that this was another PGA Tour golfer that suggests this, the likeliness of it being an American. And you sit here and say, I think so-and-so should give the league his money back, his contract that he signed, right, if he wants to come back here and play with us. I mean, that's just wild to think that. I mean, you got to be stupid.
I was going
to
say, obviously somebody's got their feelings hurt that they didn't get a contract from Liv, or that they didn't accept theirs. Or they didn't
accept theirs.
Right. So,
I mean,
let's be real.
It's
play better. Because
also, and then here, honestly, here's my true argument to it, not my just emotional argument to where I'm just like, no, that player's an absolute, I mean, lack of better terms, pathetic. I mean, to think that. But they wouldn't be talking about a merger. Right. What has the PGA Tour been saying all year this year? PGA Tour players have been saying the leagues need to get back together.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was just a one-sided Liv's trying to get back in and the PGA Tour is like, we don't need you guys. We don't need you guys. If you guys really want to come back, then void your contracts and come back.
Right.
That's a different argument.
Correct.
That's a different argument. But the PGA Tour is saying here, hey, our events have sucked. We have two guys dominating our tour.
Mm-hmm. We need
the viewership back to make money. Golf is not in a good spot. It's like, well, y'all's league isn't clearly better. So it's like, you can't really make that argument that, you know, well, if you guys are going to come back, you're going to have to suffer. It's like, well, you are kind of begging us to come back, right? Because I saw another reporter ask a question. There needs to be a camera on Dustin Johnson. When someone states, hey, Dustin, I think you should give your contract back if you want to play on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he'd laugh out loud.
He might hit the dude.
Yeah.
I mean.
But
no, man, I'm just fishing and in my boat.
Yeah.
Well, he was the first one that said, why wouldn't I take money?
Right.
That makes my future better.
He was one of the first big signings, too.
You know, and it's super easy. It's super easy, right? If these LIV golfers come back, they keep their contracts with LIV because LIV is still going to operate. I think LIV will just fully merge into the team aspect. So you'll have a LIV event 1 week, a PGA Tour event 1 week, two different formats, right? Mm-hmm. LIV golfers keep their contract, but don't allow them to have equity stake in the PGA Tour League.
Right.
Get rid of the fall PGA Tour season.
Well, it's like a membership of a club. You have full equity. Some clubs have full equity members and then another full member. Yes, they're all
members.
Their access is the same. Yeah. You know, just
one has ownership stake.
One has ownership stake.
I'll say some of the other hangups too were PGA Tour players unwilling to have a global schedule, wanting the tour to remain in the U.S. alone.
Why?
Well, the Scottish Open is a PGA Tour event.
The only reason why they play in that is because it's a week before. And
the Zozo's PGA Tour, right?
Yeah.
And that's in, what, Asia?
Yeah, China or Japan.
Japan.
So it's east of Raleigh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just east of Raleigh.
Okay.
I mean, how many events did the average PGA, or a top 50 player on the PGA Tour have to play this year?
12, I think.
A top 50?
No. They had to play, including the majors, I think it was like 18.
Yeah.
You remember the days when people used to play 25?
I'd say 30. But what if
30?
Yeah.
What if you formatted it?
Cry me a river.
Yeah.
You could format it kind of like, I hate to do this, but like format it like Formula One. You have your Silverstone, Spa, all right there. You play them back-to-back-to-back weekends.
Four-week break.
But then you got to go all the way to Melbourne in Australia, and you're taking a three-week break.
Hey, mm-hmm. Tyler, come on. This isn't a common sense league.
Yeah.
That's way too.
But like, if you want to make it global, it's like, if you got to, you know, if you got
to
go
from.
Golf
used to be global.
If you got to go PGA from UK tour, to France,
there's a reason why we had a week. There's a reason why we used to have the WGC.
Correct, yeah.
Right.
That was a way to kind of blend what is now called the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour and have all Correct. The best players in the world
come
together. It was the
top 120 in the world.
Depending on the event.
Depending on your world ranking.
Well,
I mean,
some
it strictly
events,
just came down to... Yeah,
because like the match play was only 64 players.
Correct. But, I mean, it comes down to the fact that if they want to merge, PGA Tour players have to suck it up. It's going to have to go global.
Well, it sounds like they're all worried about logistics. It's like if you want to be logistical about it, it's like you just schedule it correctly.
No, they've all been spoiled the last 2 years only having to play 17 times.
Correct.
And then you had Scottie Scheffler make $70 million this year. I wouldn't want to leave.
I would say I wouldn't want it to change either.
I wouldn't want it to change either. It's the Jordan Spieths. It's the Jordan Spieths. Justin Thomas actually played quite a few events this year. But it's those guys that have played really well in the past, that their world ranking's still high enough that they're not having to play a lot of golf right now, right, and they're making a damn good living doing it. You no longer have – like, you don't have to go the Sung J.M. route, where Sung J.M. played 30 times in a year. And because of that, that's why he finished in the top 30.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have that many wins.
Well, that and he top 10 every week, too.
Sure. I mean, but like he said, you know, he was here on a work visa. He's going to grind it out and play golf.
I say good for him.
Like, that's what the PGA Tour is supposed to be. So I fully agree with you, Tyler. It's like they need to cut events.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be every weekend.
They need to cut events. I think there's 40 events on the PGA Tour schedule.
I'll be honest, I have no idea.
It's something outrageous.
Because there's
four opposite field events.
So you have the opposite field events plus the whole fall series.
And if you want to raise viewership, like, don't make them every weekend, because that just, it's like another golf tournament.
I don't need to watch this one. I can wait until watching the Masters. Or
like, how many Formula One races do you watch a year? 22.
I watch every single one of them.
How many football? How many Alabama football games do I watch here?
Every single one of them.
Zero. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
No, I'm not an NC State fan. You couldn't pay me to watch an NC State game.
So right now their games aren't worth watching either.
But I mean, like, just think about it that way. You know what I mean? Logistically, you just.
I watch multiple NFL games a weekend, right? Because I only know that I have, well, I guess I have 17 weeks now, of regular season.
Right.
They need to do something in the merger. And unfortunately, PGA Tour players, like, if you want to call yourself one of the best players in the world, you need to play around the world. Yeah. I mean, let's go with the Noah Lyles, right? What did he say? Certain sports can't call themselves world champions. I think he went after NBA players. Noah Lyles is the fastest man in the world.
Right?
Yeah. He was like, NBA players can't call themselves world champions. They didn't compete against the world. And that's when the NBA players were like, hey, whoa, what are you talking about? We got – and he kind of made a point. You didn't travel across the world.
Yeah. I said definitely the market of golf, professional golf tournaments on this, like the PGA Tour Live, Deeper World, it's oversaturated. There's just too much golf right now.
And that's my problem. It's like
– there's so many golfers.
Well, I'm not even talking about it. I'm just talking about
that's like, a thing. We're never going to have a talent issue when it comes to professional
golf.
If
you turn a TV on and flip it to the golf channel, you'll probably find live, like, professional golf on TV.
Yeah.
One of my favorite weeks to watch professional golf is this week, the European Tour, DP World Tour. It's a European Tour. Come on. It's the European Tours playing at Wentworth, one of the most iconic golf courses when it comes to history within the game of golf. You think of Seve Ballesteros driving the green on 17. You know, essentially ultimately led to him winning that event. Like, it's unbelievable, like, how good of golf this is this week, because you have the DP World Tour that's leading into their tour championship.
Correct.
So it's like there's good golf to be watched.
Right.
You just have to kind of create that expectation. It's like, oh, what do we all know happens in April?
Masters.
Correct. Right. So everything leading up to April is what? You're only focused on the Masters. Other than that, I mean, I guess the U.S. Open's always in June. So, but other than that, like, there's no seasonal anticipation like there is in other sports.
You're never anticipating the start of, like, the PGA Tour season because it never feels like it ends.
Yeah, because do we feel like we're in Hawaii in January?
No. Nah.
Yeah, because what is it? It's January to what? September? August?
Well,
technically,
12 months a year.
Technically, it's September to September because the 2024 season has ended. And now this is the start of the 2024.
Yeah, so September.
This is 2024 season part two.
Oh.
Because you could – Patton Kizzire, he won this past week, which awesome, good for him. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Let's just say he wins every event. Yeah. He can only move up to like 51 yeah. or whatever. Like,
well, that's another thing. It's 12 months the whole year. It's like football's what?
Yes, yeah. the year is 12 correct. Months.
No, I know. But I'm saying, no, but I'm saying that's why it gets so diluted. It's like football's September to February.
Yeah.
You know, hockey's October to June. Formula One is March to December.
I mean, there's essentially
like there's an off season.
There's two sport or right now. I think there's three sport professional sports that their seasons are too long.
Baseball,
basketball, and golf.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like they had to create a new injury system for basketball called load management.
Right.
Where you're not physically hurt. It's just like
they also had to create the mid-season championship.
Excuse my French. I'm tired. Yeah. So I'm gonna sit this game.
Yeah. Same with baseball.
Baseball's always been way too long. But they make too much money, so they have to do something. It's insane how much that league has. But I mean, we can go on and on about LIV, but at least we finally have. conversations, and then we have. Well, technically, these are rumors that PGA Tour players are suggesting they pay their money back, which is just—it's
all rumor anyway.
It's wild to think about. We all know here at this table ain't nothing changing in 2025.
How do we know it?
Myrtle Beach is already telling us that they're.
I was gonna say, yeah, chances are already nothing changing, but
opposite field event to another thing. So it's just, you know, we're gonna be projecting until 2026.
But
is that Lily?
I don't know.
She probably saw the cat out there.
So Solheim. What else happened last week? We had the Solheim Cup, correct?
Yep. Team USA victorious.
Congratulations, good for them.
Mm-hmm. Hosted at the great RTJ.
Another good golf course.
Logistical nightmare, supposedly.
Oh my gosh!
Did you guys
nightmare?
Did you guys see what happened on Friday?
Yeah, the shuttle buses.
The shuttle buses. Essentially, people couldn't get into the event. Mm. The stands were pretty much empty, other than the membership that filled up the first tee. Pretty much, the first group of the Solheim Cup had nobody. Right, which like the great scene of the Presidents Cup and the Solheim Cup is that first tee
or the Ryder Cup. Let's be realistic.
Yeah. Did I say President's Cup?
Yeah, you did.
I apologize. Damn. Which Jim Furyk said something interesting this week. But you had nobody there, and shuttle buses were dropping people off at different golf courses. Sounds like something that would happen.
I hate to – it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. But what were some of the big headlines from the event? This was Lexi Thompson's.
Nelly Korda had. Well,
I was going to say, well, this is Lexi Thompson's last professional event, correct?
No, yeah. She's playing this week.
Kyle had
she's playing this week.
She's playing in the words. Kroger LPGA. Okay. It was her last Solheim Cup.
Right.
Yep, and her final putt of the Solheim Cup, they cut to commercial and didn't show
it. They're playing through.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Got to get that sponsorship ads in there, you know?
Crazy. No,
and it was broadcast on what channel?
I've got zero idea.
NBC.
I say it's NBC.
Yeah.
They are the world's worst. They suck.
Yeah,
right. But
you had Nelly Korda on Saturday. I think had the of any professional golfer in match play, like the highest strokes gained, total number. I think it was like plus seven.
Yeah.
Like, she supposedly played the greatest golf of any. Like, think about all these great matches you've had in Ryder Cup. That's how dominant she was until she met Charlie.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, she was probably a little tired. She played in every single match.
Well, it's also, too, it's hard to back up a great round like that.
You're also going into singles up 10-6. The likeliness of USA losing 70% of their matches on Sunday.
Well, what's crazy with her is she had that big lull, and then she switched putters. She switched to the Scottie Scheffler L-neck Spider at the European and has been on a tear.
Oh, so she's not using the Olsen anymore?
No. She's been using the Spider and been on a tear.
And then she was using a Scottie,
right,
when she won her majors?
Mm-hmm.
So are now all TaylorMade top staffers using TaylorMade putters?
Yep. All Spiders.
That has to be a first. For them as a brand?
Well, putters that you can actually buy at retail.
Yeah.
Not one-offs or customs. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there was a guy that was in the member guest I played in this past weekend. We were playing our practice round, playing a little money game. He pulls out and he takes the wrapper off his putter. He goes, "I'm putting like Scotty this week," and he had that putter. He actually did putt well. I was like, "You don't swing it like Scotty."
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby? I know. So what else happened in the
topless caddy?
Caddies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plural.
Yeah, we had a Team USA member hole out, and the caddies popped the tops.
That was Allison Lee, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. And I knew it was her caddy.
I say pop the tops. for a hole out, which good on Team Europe for being good sports, which it shows like this is like I love European banter, right? Because they asked Suzanne Patterson after the round who was the captain. They're like, "What were your thoughts?" And she was like, "Sex sells." and Mel Reed, though, was like, "Not them."
I'll say, I don't know. I mean, as an isolated event, I don't think it's that bad. Just as long as it doesn't become the norm for golf celebrations, I don't think it's that bad.
Well, Joel Damon got so scrutinized for it at the waste management.
Him and Harry Higgs.
Yeah.
Well, they both.
Yeah. I mean, that I would say is probably a little bit more out of line, but.
Based on what has happened since at the waste management and where that event has gone,
that seems pretty on
brand.
Well, on brand.
That was kind of the tipping point.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because that's
event when the rest started.
That event has led to kind of a little bit of its downfall. Supposedly, there's going to be really strict restrictions.
Let's see how that goes for them.
Yeah, but no, I mean, all in all, how good is match play?
We got to have some more match play events
I miss the WGC tournament. They were so much fun to watch.
Because you get to see it or watch it so few, it's a little bit that when you do have one of these special events like a Solheim Cup or Ryder Cup, it's a lot better. And you realize how much better it is, too, for television. I mean, your drama, your storylines write themselves.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it up like they do right now. Scotty's went in by 12 strokes again this week.
I'll say my dad brought up a good point. I mean, does you being a good stroke play player lead you to be a good match play player? What do you guys think?
No.
I think, well, not necessarily. It definitely helps to be a good stroke play player, right? But it doesn't mean you're going to always be a good match play player.
I mean, you look at what Team Europe did this past year with analytics, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, they went with certain choices on their team based off the players that hit the most greens in regulation.
Right.
That's who I want as my partner.
Yeah.
You might not have to make the putt. It's just we never need to be out of the hole.
I say statistics are you hitting more greens, you're going to have more chances.
Yeah.
You know, but.
I mean, there needs to be – I would like to see some more match play.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we'll see match play next week.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Jim Furyk essentially said, if you don't root for Team USA, F you. He went full Ricky Poppy.
Okay, good for him. Hopefully it's interesting to watch.
I'm team underdog this week, even though I know they have
no chance.
They have a chance. They have a 50% chance.
Yeah, I mean, technically speaking, yeah, they have a chance. But history of the event will tell you they have no chance.
It'll be good to see what kind of Team USA shows up.
Yeah.
I want to see 2017 Liberty National where you almost won it on Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. Realistically, Team USA needs to win this
early. How cool would that be? Because ultimately it will destroy this event.
I'm not even saying about that, but I mean Team USA needs a big win. I mean, they have how they've lost Ryder Cup in recent.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it'll just prove that Team International leaving off some key players.
True.
You know,
yeah,
I want to see it hurt them a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but for Joaquin Niemann, Cam Smith, some top guys.
And John Rahm.
John Rahm's Spanish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Caleb.
I don't know why that doesn't feel like.
But now does the LPGA need a USA versus the world?
No.
What?
No.
Y'all don't think so?
We don't need a President's Cup.
Y'all don't think so? I think you know what? I think the President's Cup needs to rotate every 2 years between men and women.
That would be more interesting.
Hear me out. Because like
or a mixed team.
Imagine
seeing Lydia Ko at golf. Lydia Ko not being able to play in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, more co-ed golf.
I mean, there's some girls on the LPGA
Maybe that's what could make the President's Cup more nasty, more entertaining, more interesting, is have...
Co-ed.
Yep.
5-5?
Yep.
Well, yeah.
I guess 6-6. Because they have 12. There's 12,
yeah. 6-6.
So, yeah, have mixed teams.
I like it.
That would be interesting to watch, for sure.
I mean, but we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah.
Who knows? Show and tell?
Show and tell.
Show and tell.
Tell and show. Caleb, what are your thoughts on this wedge?
Whoever did that, I mean, we need to clean up the letters. I can't read it.
They're bouncing around too much.
I guess this is a big announcement.
I guess this is our way of saying we're going to start offering some wedge stamping services.
Yep. So pretty much for the most part, we can do just about as much as the wedge provides.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of we don't have a middle finger stamp or anything like that.
We're going to keep it pretty simple for right now. Correct. Your alphabets, your numbers.
But that being said, if you want to send your wedges to us or if you order new wedges through us and want something stamped on them, we can now officially offer it. We've had people ask in the past. We've kind of posted photos because all of our wedges are stamped in here. We've kind of been teasing at it for a while. We've had to make sure that...
Got the verbiage right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Dot our I's, cross our T's. And
I like to say dot our T's and cross our I's.
Sure.
Yeah. I had to think about that for a second.
but this is cool because, I mean, ultimately, you look in every tour player's bag, their wedges get custom stamped, and now you can get another service here at Loggerhead Golf that the same guys and girls out on tour get.
Yeah, so just more ways to customize your golf bag. So
flush.
Absolutely. Flush.
Flush. Contact us for pricing.
Thanks, Tyler.
You're welcome.
Were those Mike's wedges? I think at Backspin. No, that was for Backspin's giveaway.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. The Masters and CBS announced 5 additional hours of live coverage on Saturday and Sunday.
Good.
Flush. This is what we like to see. That being said,
isn't it across four streaming services or something?
Correct. Yeah. I was going to say, that being said, I already had unlimited access to the Masters app.
True. But this is at least one network going in the right direction.
One small step.
Kind of.
Yep. For mankind.
We got to put an asterisk up there like Taylor Gooch because
He played good last week, didn't he?
You got to have certain streaming services.
Or was that 2 weeks ago? I don't know. I saw something where he played decent.
But no, this is a flush. More coverage without commercials is great. NBC sees this. They're thinking, oh, hell, in that 5 hours, we could do 1,000 commercials in that time.
Well, it didn't say it's commercial free.
Don't worry. Rolex will pay for back nine on Sunday. I don't know. I mean, hey, this is the kind of stuff we need.
Yep.
But it always happens at the Masters, though.
It's always the Masters.
Like, the Masters is already the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, putting lipstick on a pig a little bit there, but. Well, maybe it's a pretty pig.
Well, as abysmal as what the U.S. Open coverage was this year.
Oh, it was terrible.
Maybe this is a lesson for them, hey, we need to offer some more live coverage. Because you couldn't watch half the golf tournament live.
Oh. How about that? Not to go off topic. Club Pro guy is no longer going to be doing Club Pro guy.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
He's retired?
He's retiring from Club Pro guy.
Good for him.
He was the first.
Now that people are finally getting
that Miata paid off.
Now that parody accounts are getting doxxed, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
But he was kind of like Instagram's first golf guy.
He goes, you guys go to the range. None of you play from the fairway. Go out to the trees. Hit punch sevens out.
Talking
work
about
on my strokes game, punching
his,
out.
His strokes
his,
game.
His Mexican out, tour or whatever it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
The Yocho.
Damn. Shout out to CPG.
All right, so we got
Scott Fawcett.
A tweet here.
Creator of Decade Golf. Brilliant guy.
Iron off the tee doesn't guarantee you'll hit the fairway. Driver off the tee doesn't guarantee you'll miss the fairway. When in doubt, send it.
Yep, flush.
I agree.
That is my golf
100%
strategy in a nutshell, right?
You've kind of taken that too far. You need to go back to hitting irons. You probably should start hitting irons off the tee box to start, bringing it in.
Opening your window a little bit.
So if you can tee it up, hit a driver.
No, I mean, this is 100% factual. It's just mathematically... That's why strokes game. Mark Brody created the strokes game for a reason because it proves that being closer to the hole is always better.
I'd rather it's be the era of the bomb and gouge. Now, that being said, should we think about, you know, trying to get a golf ball that doesn't go quite as far?
No.
Should we think about rolling the golf ball?
I learned this past weekend when I have five handicaps that just connect on a club, and they were probably well-fitted for their club, and I'm playing 50 yards behind them, and they're blasting it about the same distance as me. I'm like, yeah, roll this freaking ball back. This is ridiculous.
You would still hit it shorter, though.
I know. But from a different tee box.
They would hit it shorter, you would hit it shorter.
Mm-hmm. Their ceiling's higher.
Same.
Their ceiling's higher.
All right.
Roll back. I'm team roll back now.
Yeah, I know you are. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I'm team roll back. But no, this makes 100% sense. When in doubt, send it.
Yep.
Now, if the fairway's 10 yards wide.
Send it.
No.
Yeah. No. Why not?
I'd rather be 120 from
your chances are just as good at hitting the fairway as are not.
I'd rather be 120 in the rough than 180 on the
fairway. Send it with 3-wood to where the 3-wood doesn't go out.
No, 3-wood curves too much.
Stop.
Driver's the straightest club.
Oh,
you don't
got that set up right then.
Yeah.
Oh, this is from Top Gear.
Yeah, this is Richard Hammond's golf swing here.
Shoes untied.
What'd I say?
He's always
and this is
Converse.
James May.
Pretty good move.
I was like, what are y'all thoughts on the golf swings here?
Well, he's going to have to hire a landscaping company to come out and fix that.
Well, if I can have, y'all didn't really watch the show, right? So Richard Hammond is known for crashing. I mean, he wrecks everything he gets in, right? Everything he drives, he's going to wreck it. So the golf swing was a train wreck there, just like how he drives a car. It's on brand for him. And then James May is known as Captain Slowly, and that clubhead speed looks about right for Captain Slowly. It's kind of funny that they they pick on him for being an old man. He's the youngest one of the group, but they pick on
I'm gonna
him
say
being
this:
old.
He turned around his he turned around the dart in the backswing really well.
Yeah.
Made sure not to burn the
smoking a Ripper Wise.
Yeah, so
Marlboro Red.
I mean, I'm gonna give both of these guys credit.
Yeah,
they didn't throw the club just dead over the top, which is nice.
I say actually, James May looks like he could play a little bit of golf.
Who was it that they were making fun of? Because I watched one of their shows. They made fun of someone that he bought a membership without the other guys knowing.
Oh, it was Richard Hammond.
He's been playing a lot of golf.
Yes.
And they were like, what?
Yeah.
You hate country clubs. He goes, I love golf.
Yeah. That was Richard Hammond.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Clarkson's Farm. Do they actually have a farm?
Jeremy Clarkson does have a farm.
Okay.
And a Lamborghini tractor.
Yes.
He didn't mean to buy.
Oh, no, he fully meant to buy a Lamborghini. Yeah.
Did you know that's what Lamborghini started with, is tractors?
Well, yeah, and Porsche.
What were they making?
What were they making them for? It was Ferrari.
Lamborghini?
Yeah. No, Ferrari started with tractors. Or
no.
No, it was Lamborghini.
No, Lamborghini.
Was it Lamborghini?
Yep.
And Porsche.
Yeah.
What did Ferrari start with? It wasn't cars.
Well, no, Ferrari. All right, so Enzo Ferrari inherited the Alfa Romeo Formula One team. So the Alfa Romeo racing team, he inherited it because in, I believe, 1955 or 56.
We ain't got enough time for this.
So an Alfa Romeo driver had a terrible crash and a wreck. It killed several spectators.
Uh-oh.
And so Alfa Romeo wanted to wash their hands of the situation. They got rid of it. Enzo was who was managing the team at the time. They
that
gave
was
it to
that
him.
Wreck.
From that point forward, that's why it's called Scuderia Ferrari. He's Enzo Ferrari.
Gotcha.
And he created a Ferrari brand based off of that. He only created a car company to help fund his racing addiction, basically.
Mm.
There you go.
Story time.
Let's go to work.
Cool. If you haven't already, like, subscribe, and we'll catch you next time for episode 70.